I'm going to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, first 10 verses of the Gospel of John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple and the one whom Jesus loved and said to them, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they have laid him. Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. I want you to spend a few moments watching a reenactment of Peter and John arriving at the tomb. And let's see what happens. Christ Jesus is alive. Amen, church. He is risen. Christ the Lord is risen today. We all exclaim hallelujah. And on the occasion of this glorious event, we gather together for worship, for singing, for communion, and the sharing of a time in the Word of God. And on this occasion, we unapologetically, unashamedly, and unabashedly declare that we have life in the name of Jesus because he did not stay buried in a grave or in a tomb, but Jesus arose just as he said he would. And for nearly 2,000 years, the Church of the Risen Lord has made a big deal out of the resurrection because it is a big deal. I've shared in the past that the earliest recorded message on Easter was preached by a bishop by the name of Melito in the late 2nd century. Easter, as some would miscategorize, is not something born out of some pagan holiday or a bunch of people on the internets talking about Easter deriving from some sort of pagan. No, not so. The early church believed in celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we see in Melito's early sermon that he preached and affixed and connected the Passover with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Melito, in his Easter sermon, this is a sermon from the early second century or late second century, he spends a great deal of time talking about Moses and the Exodus and the Passover. And you can go online and search Melito and find that message. I found his message to be so moving, so powerful, and so indicative of the conviction of the Christian church regarding Jesus Christ. And that Jesus celebrated in the late second century is the same Jesus that we celebrate today here on Resurrection Sunday. That is the Jesus who is the subject of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That is the Jesus that we are reading about as we have read through the Gospels. If you're visiting with us, for the past several months, we have been reading through the entire Bible, and we have some reading guides, and some have been reading just through the New Testament, and some have been reading just through the Old Testament, and some have been doing both or a mixture. And we're trying to take a look at the book. We did this about 13 years ago in a series called A Look at the Book. And we're in another series right now called Another Look at the Book. And if you follow the guide that we have, you can read the entire Bible in just over 150 days. And we just recently completed, if you're following the schedule, a reading of the Gospels. And this Jesus is the subject of the Gospels. That is the Jesus who is making himself available to the masses in 2022 all over the world, including right here in the 43068 or the 614. That is the Jesus that is ready to be Lord of all men and all women and all children, American, African, Latin, and Irish. I don't know why I picked those four Irish. I could pick the whole other. Actually, you know, I did my DNA testing, and I am 1% Irish. Thank you. That is the Jesus that has our attention, and that is the Jesus we follow as disciples. And Jesus is the reason that we still have joy, and we still have hope, and we still have peace, and we still have faith and love. And after everything that we have been through, we still have joy. For today's message, I just want to connect what we have been journeying through in Scripture with the powerful earth-altering event called the resurrection. For the past 3 weeks, we have centered on the Gospels, attempting to highlight some themes that will help us read and understand the Gospels better. All four Gospels include the resurrection story. All four Gospels conclude their telling of the Jesus story with the resurrection. And all four Gospels tell them in their own unique and powerful way. The Gospel of Mark gives the briefest report that kind of fits Mark's style. Mark doesn't spend a lot of time with details. He hits the main points and he moves on. While the Gospel of John has the most extensive report post-resurrection. But all four Gospels capture the surprise and the mystery and the game-changing impact of the resurrection. Earlier, we watched a video that helped us to imagine the report given by John. Two of Jesus' apostles, Peter and we presume John, but in the text it just says the other disciple. And also a woman by the name of Mary Magdalene. They were the ones that we will see in this retelling meets this tomb, this empty tomb. Mary Magdalene went to the place where Jesus was buried and notices that it had been tampered with. So she runs to tell Simon Peter and the other disciple, again, we presume to be John. The other disciple is used instead of a name. Now, I must tell you, I don't know if you caught this, but the most amusing piece of this narrative, of all the things that are going on, is what the author writes in verse number 4 of chapter 20, when he writes, "And the two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first." Church, that's amusing to me. Someone may have messed with the body of Jesus. This was a very traumatic time. This, you know, emotions are all over the place, and there are a lot of details that can be given. But the author wants us to know, and listen, Peter gets a lot of grief in the Gospels. If you read the Gospels, man, they're always picking on Peter. And on top of everything else, Peter is slow. He can't run faster than John, and the author wants us to know that Peter is slow. But the drama of Peter and the other disciples' race is morphed in the narrative by what happens next. So here is John chapter 20, starting at verse number 11. "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know what it was, that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?' Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' And Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him in Hebrew, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, 'Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.' And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, 'I have seen the Lord,' and she told them that he had said these things to her." You know, to me, there are a couple keys or just sort of some pieces that's just so glaring and sticks out to me. You know, Jesus tells Mary to go and tell the brothers, verse number 17, again, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." The resurrection of Jesus is not just something to look at, gawk at, like an intriguing painting or some spectacular stunt, or as many cars do as there's a car accident, you just stare and gawk. You know, the resurrection isn't just something that you just stare at. It's something that must be told. It's something that must be shared. It's something that must be shouted. It's one of the reasons that the Gospels are writings about going. The Gospels tell stories of Jesus going into neighborhoods and preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. The Gospels tell the stories of Jesus going into the countryside and healing the sick. The Gospels tell the stories of Jesus going to Jerusalem to give his life for humankind. And so it makes sense that after the resurrection, Jesus told Mary to go and tell somebody. And Mary was the first evangelist, the first person to tell and spread the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Another key for me is that Mary, she did what Jesus told her to do. She followed his instructions and made it personal. Again, verse number 18, Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Mary spoke of her personal interaction with the risen Lord. Her evangelistic effort was one relaying her personal encounter and personal experience with the Christ. And so a good takeaway is that when we speak of sharing the good news, we start by sharing the good news that we personally experience. Why? Because People need to see why good news is important to the deliverer of the good news before embracing that good news themselves. For Mary, it was good news, not just because, it was good news because she saw the Lord. And our God, our good news is one that starts with our experience of seeing and believing and experiencing the Lord, seeing the Lord at work, seeing the Lord active in our lives, seeing the Lord active in our world. I know people see a lot of bad news. It's why I want to tell everybody about some good news. You know, in the past like few days, I haven't watched the news. I was talking to my brother on the phone, and we're about to get off the phone. He said, "Well, I guess I'll go watch the news." I said, "Go watch the news. If you listen to this station, they're just going to tell you bad news about the war. If you go to this channel, they're going to tell you bad news about politics. If you watch your local news, they're going to tell you about bad news in our neighborhoods with everyone getting shot. There's so much bad news. I want to tell somebody some good news." The resurrection stories in the gospel set forth an ongoing narrative that has continued for 2,000 years as Christians all over the world share good news. I like to call the legacy of the gospels. That is the legacy of the gospels. You know, when we lose a loved one, when a family member loses a loved one, and some of you have experienced this, and I've preached your loved one's funeral, I'll come to your house and I'll talk to you about your loved one. And I always ask this question, like, what do you believe is the legacy that your loved one is leaving? And when they tell me that, I think about that, I meditate on that. And then when I'm delivering my eulogy or funeral message, I try to give the family an encouragement based on the legacy that that family member may have left. You know, someone might say, well, the legacy that my loved one left is a legacy of keeping a close-knit family. And so I'll encourage the family at the funeral to keep this family close-knit. Or someone's other may say that their loved one's legacy is a legacy of service. Man, they were just always doing things for other people. So my encouragement to that family would be to prolong that loved one's legacy by serving one another and serving others. So what legacy has the gospels left for us to prolong? How is it that the legacy or how will that legacy be reinforced by the resurrection of Jesus? There are four things I want us to think about as themes, motifs, we call them, that you see all throughout the Gospels, and something that I believe that God is calling us to prolong and to continue in our world. The first is a legacy of healing. You read the Gospels, and you cannot read the Gospels without being inundated with healing stories. Jesus, throughout the Gospels, and there are reports made of encounters that he had that literally changed their lives. Some of them physically, some of them spiritually, some of them both, some of them mentally. Many of these changed lives are the result of receiving the touch of Jesus for healing. Take Mary Magdalene, for example. Mary Magdalene, who's at the tomb, the first to meet the risen Lord and the first to go spread that good news about the resurrection. There isn't a lot of information about Mary outside of those resurrection narratives, except that she was known as one who was once possessed by demons. Look at Luke chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. As soon afterwards, he went on through cities and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out. It's interesting in popular retellings of the story of Jesus, you'll meet Mary Magdalene, and they always portray Mary Magdalene as a prostitute. Says nothing about her being a prostitute. It says everything about her being possessed by demons. And Jesus touched her and cast those demons out. And her life would be changed as a result of her encounter with Jesus, healing. Her story would include his resurrection and his power to heal. And Mary, like thousands of others, would have that story. Also, you had blind folks who received their sight, and lame people who could walk, and the deaf could hear, and the lepers had clean skin. The socially outcast, they had a community. Demon-possessed, again, were freed by evil. The spiritually bankrupt, they emerged with a new purpose, a new life, and a new heart. I'm telling you, church, the gospel gives us a picture of healing, and we do good to prolong the legacy of healing. There are a lot of hurt people in our world, amen? And we need to go to them with this message of Jesus's healing. Sometimes it's physical. Most of the times it's spiritual. It's mental. Jesus has a way to heal, and that is a legacy that we ought to prolong in our world. Another theme that we will see throughout the Gospels is this theme of opportunity. Opportunity. With each episode presented in the Gospels, we see another theme that is presented through the four testimonies, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Gospels tell the stories of numerous opportunities presented for a wealth of encounters. And Jesus was in this these encounters, offering men and women opportunities to start over, opportunities to have a new life, opportunities to connect with a community. Jesus gave men and women opportunities to serve and opportunities to be a part of a world-changing movement. Being a part of the Jesus movement is about seizing opportunities. If you have made a ton of mistakes in your life, there is the opportunity for forgiveness. If you're looking for meaning, there is an opportunity to be a part of God's kingdom. If you feel broken and bruised by life, there's an opportunity to receive the touch of Jesus, who has demonstrated in his lifetime that he can fix some things. Post-resurrection, those of us who are followers of Jesus ought to be seeking the same opportunities and offering the same opportunities to others. That's why it's important to stay alert for God incidents that are presented to us. They are opportunities for us to connect to God, connect to people, and to connect to purpose. You know, as you read throughout the Gospels, I want you to pay attention to all the times that Jesus stopped and ate with people. Jesus was a foodie. Like, Jesus liked food, he liked to eat. That's why I like to eat, because of Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. If we had a food truck festival, you know where Jesus would be? At the food truck festival. Because Jesus spent time at tables. Go back and read the Gospels and point out all the great teachings that we know about Jesus and see where most of those were spoken. Most of them were spoken at a table. Because Jesus took opportunity. He did not neglect those many opportunities to connect with people. And we have those same opportunities and ought to be looking for those same opportunities. Another theme that you see throughout the Gospels in terms of prolonging a legacy is this legacy of perseverance. The Gospels portray a Jesus that started a movement, not another religion, not another system of oppressive and legalistic norms. He set forth a way of life. He did this not from a position of power and prestige. You see, the story of Jesus is a story of someone born in a poor town in a poor region. He came from a place that was not regarded as the wealthiest or the smartest or the brightest or the most innovative. He came from a neighborhood of low-class workers in a region known for being common. Jesus and his kind were often overlooked because they didn't have the street cred. But Jesus and his disciples, they overcame those circumstances to ignite a movement that would bring all people together from all tribes, all colors, all income levels, and all education levels. Jesus and his disciples overcame the odds, overcame the obstacles, overcame the onslaught of objections. One might call this overcoming the perseverance of Christ and his kingdom. Throughout the history of the church, God's people have persevered and overcome. God's people have undergone years of persecution, hate, and resistance. The church all over the world has not been free from scandal. And currently, there are reports of inappropriate and sinful behavior by church leaders. There has been accusations of mishandling of church funds and finances. But still, I believe the church will overcome and persevere. I believe Jesus when he said, And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, that's death, will not prevail against it. The church was created to persevere. That is to say, the church will not die even in the face of reports of global decline. Christ's church has a legacy of overcoming struggle, challenge, and obstacles, and will continue to persevere. And then there's this final theme, this fourth theme of evangelism. Evangelism is a theological word. It literally means belief in good news. It's good news. The resurrection story we read earlier is a story that highlights evangelism. Evangelism, it is a church word. It's a theological word. It's a word that has meaning and value in the story of God's church. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are the result of evangelism. Evangelism is the practice of sharing the message of God for the purpose of bringing people into relationship with God. I love the way one author describes evangelism, Orlando Costas. He says, evangelism implies bearing witness to the God who saves us from the misery of the human condition. It is an immensely personal and extensively social witness that requires immersion in a particular social historical context and participation in the struggles of humanity. I don't want you to trip over the big words in that definition. What he is simply saying is that evangelism is about getting into the lives and the worlds of other people, and within their worlds, sharing the message of God, a message of salvation. That is to say that we get dirty, we get into the messes of other people, we get into their context, we get into their lives, we get into their families, and we share, we look, we note where they have need, and we share with them the powerful message of God, his message of salvation. And I will say this boldly today. People are in need of saving. And I believe God has a message that will save. And throughout the Gospels, Jesus gave his disciples the directive to go and to evangelize. Take the end of the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus came and said to his disciples, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Go share. That's evangelism. At the longer ending of Mark chapter 16, verse number 15, it says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. The one who believes and is baptized will be saved, but the one who does not believe will be condemned." Go share the good news, evangelism. At the end of Luke chapter 24, "And he said to them," Jesus, "thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." In summary, on this Easter Sunday, may we be reminded that the gospel witness has left us a legacy to follow, a legacy to promote, and a legacy to carry on throughout all generations. It is a legacy of healing, of overcoming, of persistence, and evangelism. I wish there was a way that we could remember that. Let me try my best to be John Hess, okay? That we would prolong a legacy of healing and prolong a legacy seeking opportunities. That we would prolong a legacy of perseverance. And that we would prolong a legacy of, I'm going to fall here, evangelism. I'm trying my best to be John Hess. I want to be like John Hess when I grow up. Hope. Hope. When it comes to the story of Christ and the resurrection, it's about healings and it's about opportunities and it's about perseverance and it's about evangelism, but it's really a legacy of hope. The resurrection presents to us the best way to live in the legacy of hope. The resurrection of Jesus is the epitome of hope. Hope is the conviction that a promising future is assured, and this assurance has impact on our present reality. That is, we live today being certain of a blessing tomorrow. That is the hope centered in our lives when Jesus Christ arose from the dead. When Christ died, there was reason for despair and disappointment. But when he arose, hope crushed that misery. When Christ died, there was reason to believe that our lives were destined for ruin. But when he arose, hope restored our reason to live. When Christ died, there was reason to believe that the evil one had prevailed over good. But when Christ arose, hope established a dominion of good that outplays, outlasts, and outwits evil. When Christ died, there was reason to believe that our dependence on sin and its vices would be our norm. But when Christ arose, hope provided a road to freedom from sin, freedom from addiction, freedom from the past, freedom from systems of this world, freedom from hate, freedom from guilt, freedom from trauma, freedom from mediocrity, freedom from just existing and taking up space. The resurrection of Jesus gives us hope to live life to the full, and that is exactly what we intend to do in the name of Jesus. And so, in the name of Jesus, we offer the healing grace of God. In the name of Jesus, we seek opportunity to be present with the Lord and with others. In the name of Jesus, we persevere in the face of obstacles and challenge. And in the name of Jesus, we evangelize and we share the greatest news on earth. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Sometimes Christians walk around like we have the worst news. But I'm here today, Easter 2022, to say we need to be walking around like we have the greatest news. The greatest news. There is no news that surpasses the news of believing in a Christ who rose from the grave and has given us hope. Hope for a better day. Hope for a second chance. Hope for healing. Hope for a better outcome. Hope for a better family. Hope for a better marriage. Hope for a better responsibility with the finances God gives us. Hope for so many things. Hope for a better church. Hope for a better community. Hope for a better neighborhood. I feel good about my community of Reynoldsburg. Why? Because there's a church here that believes in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I have hope for our country because there's a church in this country that believes in the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I have a belief that lives will be changed and families will be changed and systems will be changed because there are people who hold on to the hope that's found in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? May we prolong a legacy of healing, a legacy of seeking opportunities, a legacy of persevering, and a legacy of sharing the good news, evangelism, hope. That's your message for Easter 2022, that we would live in this hope. Living in this hope also means that we are able to offer to everybody, men, women, and children, the blessing of being in relationship with God through Jesus Christ. By coming to his altar, and saying, yes, Jesus, do with me what you need to do with me to give me healing, to position me for these opportunities, to let me know that no matter what I'm going through, I can still have joy and peace and faith, and I can persevere, and giving me a new assignment in my life to not just walk this earth and do nothing, but to walk this earth and to share this good news to everybody I come into contact with. There's an altar that God calls us all to. Many of us have come to that altar and we have said, yes, we believe in you, Jesus. And yes, we are going to confess our brokenness to you, and we want you to fix our brokenness. And after emerging out of that brokenness, we're living in this new relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you that a relationship with Jesus Christ changes things. It changes outcomes. And so today, you have that opportunity to come to that altar. We're going to sing a song called "O Come to the Altar." And as we're singing this song, if today is a day that you want to present yourself to God on his altar, today is a day that you really want to embrace the hope that is found in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we'll offer you that opportunity to do that publicly. Maybe you want to do that afterwards. You want to grab a hold of someone here. Grab a hold of me. Find me. I'm the black dude with the purple shirt on. No other black dude in here got a purple shirt on, so it'd be easy to find me. Come find me, and I will talk to you and share with you the way of Jesus. You need to have Jesus in your life. If there are other needs that you have that you want to share with the church or with God, you want us to pray for you, please come as we sing this song.